Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
And just like that, we're back after the long three-day weekend. A good Tuesday. Welcome to the Daily 10. It's your friend Matt back again to take you on this 10-minute sports journey of ours. Hope everybody survived Snow Jam 2022, whatever the flurries looked like in your neighborhood. And I wish you a very good Tuesday morning. Hello, champions. And that's where we're going to start with the champions here in a moment. I will tell you later on here in the podcast, we'll continue our Braves player profile with a certain Jocktober theme to it, which we'll get to coming up. But first, the Georgia Championship Parade and Rally, it went off without a hitch. It looked like a grand time. A lot of cool moments from it, from Kirby Smart addressing the Georgia crowd inside Sanford Stadium to players. I thought the coolest moment of all, Jordan Davis, not number one, just incredibly likable kid. We know how well his story has turned out, but I loved the moment where he pulls up the Georgia Championship pullover and there's the Braves jersey and he yells, "Go Braves, go Dogs." Thought that was very cool. I thought one of the coolest pictures from the rally, the former Georgia coaches all posing together for a picture, Ray Goff, Mark Richt, Vince Dooley, and Jim Donnan. I haven't seen those four in a picture together. So I thought that was very cool. And, you know, for Kirby Smart, it was not just a chance to celebrate a championship. What a recruiting opportunity, which he's always looking for. It was the ultimate recruiting opportunity for a lot of kids that Kirby's got his eye on in the future. Some roster news for Georgia. We knew this was coming, some kids who were going to be leaving, some kids who were going to be staying. But as of now, we know this at the recording of this podcast, Lewis Cine, Trayvon Walker, N'Kobe Dean all announced their intentions to enter the NFL draft. The same with Channing Tindall, Darian Kendrick, Devontae Wyatt, and Justin Schaefer. On the other side, William Poole is coming back. Chris Smith announced he'll return for his super senior season. And most importantly, Nolan Smith said he's coming back to Georgia for a final season. And that one really surprised me because I thought Nolan would have a high draft grade to him. But that's a big, big deal for obvious reasons for Georgia. Now, it's expected also that JT Daniels will enter the transfer portal. And again, that's not a surprise. He'll be on the Georgia roster for a while, but this is a smart decision by a lot of these kids who now have an opportunity to see what else is out there, where he might fit in if it's not Georgia. We'll wait and see what Stetson Bennett's decision is going to be and whether that affects JT. So those moves not surprising at all. One more note, and this is a congratulations to Brock Bowers, who won the fourth annual Football Writers Association of America Freshman of the Year Award. Brock became the first Georgia player to win the award and the first tight end to win it as well. We are brought to you by the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. This would be the time in the podcast I would remind you, if you're going to watch your big professional football playoff action Saturday or Sunday, consider the Daily Draft, downtown Woodstock on Main Street. You'll love everything when you walk through the doors, from wall-to-wall flat screens to enjoy all the views of the games. One of the biggest movie-sized screens in Atlanta with a front-row seat. Get there early. Grab that seat and you can have the best seats in the house, a craft beer bar, self-serve taps, a chef-inspired menu, not that deep-fried sports bar food that you become accustomed to. I would tell you on these cold Atlanta days, great soups, great wings to warm the mouth up, burgers, sandwiches, flatbreads, you name it, appetizers, desserts, all the in-betweens that you will love that will make the whole happy, the whole family happy at the Daily Draft. You can find out more online at thedailydraft.net. And when you go in for lunch, mention my podcast. If you just mentioned The Daily 10, they're going to take 10% off your lunch order. Again, mention The Daily 10 for 10% off your lunch order. So I know now that the Georgia season is behind us and the NFL playoffs rolling along, it won't be too long now before we start diving into NFL draft discussion. And it feels like we do this one every year. We ask this question: will this be the year that the Atlanta Falcons finally draft a player from Georgia? Now, I'll be up front with you guys. I don't really care if they do or don't. I don't think the Falcons have ever intentionally passed on a Georgia player. I don't think it's some grand conspiracy theory like some have suggested in the past. I've always thought if there's a need or the best player available and it fits with what the Falcons want, a Georgia player is there, go get him. Now, would it be cool if all those things intersected, best player, a need, and it's a Georgia guy? Sure. And maybe this is the year. Right now, the Falcons have 7 picks, but there's some unknown on whether Calvin Ridley will be back. That could be a trade that gives them another pick or two. There's been some talk about Grady Jarrett. If they end up moving on from Grady, that would be another quality pick or two. But as we sit here right now, the Falcons have 7 picks. They'll start with the first round pick at number 8. Now, if it's me, I'd love to see them move back if possible and bank more picks, but that takes somebody else to dance with. So let's assume they stay at number 8. At number 8, it would not be a surprise at all, because the Falcons have needs at every position. I'm not exaggerating. They need a corner, a linebacker. They need 2 edge rushers. They need a defensive tackle. They need an offensive tackle. They could use a guard. They could use a receiver, a running back. You get my drift? A safety, all of it. The Falcons at number 8 very easily could pick N'Kobe Dean or Jordan Davis, and neither would be considered shocking at number 8. As much as I like Jordan, I would take N'Kobe over him because I think the impact is greater. I think Jordan could be a really great space eater at the next level with some athleticism, but I would take Jordan if I had more ducks in a row defensively where he would allow other guys to run free. Unfortunately, Jordan taking up space wouldn't allow a bunch of guys to run free because they don't have talent, at many positions on that defense. So at number 8, either one of those things could be in play. In the second round, the Falcons have 2 picks, number 43 and number 63, which is the Julio Jones draft trade compensation from the Titans. I could see the Falcons at that point drafting Trayvon Walker, Lewis Cine, depending if either guy was on the board at either point. Third round, they'll pick number 74. And again, this is way too early to try to project this, but a George Pickens, Devontae Wyatt, Jamari Sawyer, Channing Tindall, all could make sense somewhere around that spot. And then where the Falcons really have to make some hay is getting fortunate in rounds 4, 5, and 6, where they have 3 picks. And they could use any of those on James Cook, Zamir White, Darian Kendrick, Justin Schaefer. There are a lot of points where best player available combined with need intersects with a Georgia player that could be on the board. So maybe this is finally the year where the Falcons draft the Georgia player. Again, not because it's going to win some kind of, bonus points, but because it makes sense and they have so much talent that is going to be involved in this NFL draft. All right, let's continue with our Braves player profiles. If you're just finding the podcast, we've been doing this each and every day, really for a couple of reasons. Our hope here is that both sides involved in the lockout will come to some agreement sooner rather than later, so we can start focusing on spring training that should be, a month away, a little less now. So with that in mind, we've been giving you a Braves player profile off the World Champions each and every day on the pod, and you can go back through the archives to hear some of the ones that came before today. All right, today's spotlight is on the man with the pearls, Jock Peterson. Yes, Jocktober. If you look back when the Braves traded for Jock, it was at the final day of the All-Star break. And as Alex Anthopoulos said, that move was just kind of a indicator to everybody that we're not selling, that we think we're still in the race, so we're going to make moves. Now, Alex did say that, who knows, if things wouldn't have gone well, the 10 or 12 days that Jock was here and the Braves would have fallen out of the race, they could have turned around and traded Jock. Thankfully, that never happened. Jock during the regular season was just okay for the Braves. He hit .249, 7 home runs with 22 RBIs, and a very pedestrian .752 OPS. And he would eventually just become a bench bat after Eddie Rosario came back from injury, because the Braves' outfield was Soler, Duvall, and Rosario pretty much every night. They were all hitting better, they fit better defensively, and the Braves ran with those 3 hot bats. But Jock made his presence felt, as we all saw in October. I mean, that Jocktober thing, we are those MFers. Like, that is a real presence that Jock brought to the Braves, the way he brought to the Dodgers, whether it was on the field or in the clubhouse. I don't think we could ignore that. Jock had the big 3-run pinch hit home run against the Brewers. He hit a couple of home runs in that series. He was as big a reason as anybody why the Braves won the first round series against the Brewers and advanced out of the division series. What happens to Jock now is anybody's guess. I would think the Braves would prioritize Soler and Eddie Rosario, if the finances are right, to bring one or both back before Jock, and that's just a guess. But as I said, we can't ignore the presence and the personality, which is a very big deal for Jock, whether it was in L.A., here in Atlanta. He's a back-to-back champion now. So not to say that he carried the Dodgers or the Braves, but he's got a ton of postseason experience. He's hit, I think, 11 or 12 postseason home runs. And I would argue for a long time the Braves did miss some presence in that clubhouse or in, you know, those postseason moments where it's like, yeah, we are those MFers and we're going to come out and show you with big moment after big moment. And here comes Eddie Rosario to win the NLCS MVP and Jorge Soler to win the World Series MVP and Jock to hit big home runs against the Brewers and Adam Duvall to have his moments, like one after another. Stuff like that, while it's not probably worth signing over some other pieces that could be available to bring back here, it's also something that you find out you miss when it's gone. So we'll see how the Braves view Jock in comparison to these other outfielders when the lockout ends. Again, if they're able, I don't even know what the financial situation is going to be. They still have that Freddie Freeman thing that they've got to take care of before anything else, and then fill some other parts of this roster out, including maybe another starting pitcher, maybe another bullpen arm, some depth off the bench. They have to determine where Christian Pache fits in. They have a lot of things that they've got to figure out, and Jock is just one of them. All right, if you guys would, hit the subscribe button now, or you can follow this podcast wherever you get your favorite pods. It'll be waiting for you each and every day, somewhere around 10 o'clock. I'll be on the radio this afternoon in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. We're back again tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.